Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, I wrote that long, long time ago, but my most recent article is up on the website now, and it's concerning the subject that we're going to talk about today. My guest is Roger Christie. He's the founder of THC Ministries over in Hawaii. Hello, Roger.
Yes, indeed. Aloha, Clayton, and everybody that's listening today.
Aloha. I've also got up on my website a song that says, "I've Been Everywhere, Man," and done by Johnny Cash a long time ago, too. And I have. I've been to your state, most beautiful state out there as far as I'm concerned.
It's quite a lovely place here. We like to call it paradise with an ocean view.
How long have you been operating, and when did you start this ministry? I know when my son was going to college, he found you, he met you, put us together. But how long have you been doing this?
I've been on the Big Island for 24 years and have been a cannabis activist for the entire time. I finally got ordained as a minister and licensed to marry people, specifically as a cannabis sacrament minister by the state of Hawaii, in the year 2000. So the THC ministry was invented 10 years ago this September.
All right. Now, what made you term it a religion? You know, now I've been smoking and riding Harleys for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the paraphernalia industry. Well, you've got my whole story there in the article that I've got tied to the story.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Trevor brought the subject up to me that I got to thinking about it. And when we were sitting around the campfire or sitting around the coffee table, passing that joint, we were engaging in a spiritual ceremony.
Yes, indeed. Without calling it that.
We didn't know. We didn't think about that, man. We weren't religious. We weren't going to churches. We weren't doing anything. But it was a religious experience.
Yes, indeed. Getting high is a spiritual term and a spiritual activity. And it's worthy of protection by the First Amendment of the Constitution, of the Bill of Rights.
Well, there's certainly precedent for it. The American Indians can smoke peyote, or eat peyote, rather.
Yes, indeed.
They can use peyote, and if I get caught with it, I got to go to jail.
There's a prohibition, and there's an exception to that prohibition, and we claim that there's an exception to the prohibition of cannabis or marijuana, and we're living that truth.
on the article that I've got a link to an interview with Judge Napolitano, and he feels the same way. There's it's our bodies. What we want to do with it is our business.
Absolutely right. There's a great question. It's who owns your body, and that answer better be the individual. Unfortunately, it's turned the other way around, and the government thinks it has a big ownership of us since the bankruptcy in the 1930s, apparently, when they took our straw man as collateral to the national debt. It's a spiritual opportunity, Clayton. It's a spiritual opportunity to redeem ourselves, to redeem the ownership of our body, and to redeem our souls, to capture that straw man, and claim full ownership of ourselves as spiritual human beings here. It's a great exercise in personal evolution when somebody wakes up to this particular opportunity and grabs a hold of it with both hands. And it's a mana building experience. You know the word mana from heaven, M-A-N-N-A. Well, in Polynesia, M-A-N-A means inner spiritual strength. And building mana or inner spiritual strength is one of the glories of being a human being. And waking up our conscious awareness to that possibility. It's just one of the most exciting things in life. And we can exercise our mana and claim our rights as sovereign human beings here to enjoy the plants, especially cannabis, as a sacrament. And we at the THC Ministry like to show people how to do that.
Roger, I helped support and finance Jack Hara while he was writing The Emperor Wears No Clothes. I set him up a shop in Van Nuys, California, and one of my friends, Clark Jones, did the proofreading on the original version of Emperor Wears No Clothes. Jack just died this year.
He did. Yeah, rest in peace, Jack. What a beautiful human being.
He did wonderful, wonderful work. And he points out, and I point out in my article, and maybe I do it in a little different fashion than he does, but cannabis, hemp, was our number one cash crop in America. George Washington said, sow it everywhere. And we sailed the earth. We set up this country, defended this country using hemp ropes and sails. Levi made our blue jeans out of sailcloth, hemp. And somehow, and if you ever wondered how William Randolph Hearst got the money to build that castle on the mountaintop over there on the coast of California, Hearst Castle, you want to know how? He helped the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the bankers demonize hemp, and got a law passed against it, a tax passed against it. So, again, for the second time in history, I mean, the prohibition, they made our grandfathers and uncles criminals. We made farmers that were running their tractors on alcohol and growing hemp at the same time. They made them into bootleggers and moonshiners. And isn't that what they've done to the American people today? They've turned us into criminals. As Ayn Rand said, government has no control over honest citizens. So they got to make criminals out of us. They have stolen our there's 10,000 products made out of hemp. And we got to buy the raw materials from China.
It's so ridiculous and criminal, it's bizarre, and yet that's the state of affairs. But we get to reclaim that ownership of our rights, and that's a part of our personal evolution and personal experience. It's actually a very exciting opportunity, Clayton. There's you're absolutely right about the history. It's so far from rational and reasonable that it's laughable and yet sad as could be. But we get the
Chinese curse. You know that, don't you? Hey, you live in interesting times.
My goodness. Well, it's what they say on that hexagram for the I Ching. The challenge is the same thing as an opportunity. So we're highly challenged, and we've got a great opportunity in front of us each and every waking moment.
Use our free will. I'm sorry, I was just chuckling and thinking of the neocons in Washington saying, never let a good crisis go to waste.
They sure work us, don't they, or try to.
You know, if you don't own your own body, this is a point you just made, and I want to elucidate on that a little bit. If you don't have the right to do what you want with your body. If you don't own your body, what are you? Oh, let's see. That would be a slave, wouldn't it?
Sure. You're the property of another, then.
I have said that they have really refined the art of slavery to the point that the slaves don't know they're slaves. I'm not a slave, man. I can go down to the – I can go jump in my pickup truck and go down and get a beer. What?
Right.
Well, no, I'm sorry. You're still a slave. You're an economic slave. And with the hemp, it's even more. Now look at me. I'm not sure, and I want to really get your input on this. I'm not sure that hemp, marijuana, THC, cannabis, by the way, they said Jim Powers on my chat room says, can't find any laws against cannabis, but laws against marijuana. It's all in the words. Like Bill Clinton said, it depends on what your definition of is.
Yeah, very well said. I remember it well.
Now, is the Christianity has been around for 2,000 years, and all of the passages that I can find in the Bible referring to the plants, the seeds on earth, all given us to our use, you know, and Christianity is about freedom. It's about personal, the freedom of the individual, because we all have the ability to talk to God. You know, we don't need necessarily a preacher or a translator to do that. And to me, that's what hemp does. Matter of fact, Kathy O'Brien, who wrote Transformation of America, she was a CIA MK Ultra mind control slave for Dick Cheney and George Bush. And she said that she was allowed to do heroin, cocaine, anything she wanted to do. And she ran heroin to George Bush. She said she was not allowed to smoke marijuana.
Wow.
And there's an interesting phenomenon with me. I've been smoking for 40 years, and when I went up on stage one time to get hypnotized, and they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a telling factor. Good for you.
I went to a hypnotist and paid him to hypnotize me, and he said, "I'm sorry, you have a very strong mind. I can't do this." But he didn't give me my money back either. So.
Oh, yeah, got it. Well, that was worth the price of admission, Clay, because that was very instructive that you have exercised your mana, your sovereignty, your conscious awareness to such a degree that you don't give it over to other people. And even if they've got all the tricks up their sleeves of hypnosis experience, and wow. What a beautiful statement that is in favor of the use of cannabis as a sacrament. Hallelujah to that.
Now, I get, I'll get little letters here from people sending me an email, I don't smoke, and you drug eats, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, you don't smoke, no problem. You know, there's a lot of people that live in ignorance. There's a lot, and ignorance is bliss, you know. They don't really want to know the truth. They don't want to wake up. They're happy being hypnotized robots, slaves, or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. You know, free will, I mean, you know, free will is a tough thing to deal with. I mean, you know, you got to take responsibility for yourself.
You exactly. Know? It can be a very tough thing. You're exactly right. I heard that in a church class one time. Free will can be a bitch sometimes. Unfortunately, sorry for using the vernacular there, but
that's right. Just as long as you're talking about my dog's mother, you know.
That's right. It can be quite a challenge to exercise the powers of our mind, and that's part of the beautiful ride here and experience on planet Earth is to wake up as much as possible to question authority and to, you know, investigate who we are and what we're doing on planet Earth and how far can we push the limits of this beautiful experience on this gorgeous but yet troubled planet. It's quite a ride.
To me, the Garden of Eden, they're talking about this whole planet. This planet is a garden planet. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the UFOs have been coming here for 10,000 years because it is a garden planet. They gave us, they taught the natives how to develop agriculture, and so we could grow. Food and drugs for them. Did you ever notice where all the ancient centers of civilizations are, where there's the pyramids and the fantastic, you know, 10,000-year-old civilizations? It's all in prime dope-growing regions, you know, in India, in Turkey, or in Israel, in South America. You know, it's my opinion that the ancient astronauts were probably coming here for the trade. You know, they wanted our gold and our silver and our hemp. I mean, hemp is a commodity. Hemp is a commodity. And the female plant, if you take care of it, you know, you can catch a buzz off of it.
You certainly can. It's got the power to give us euphoria.
It's more than getting high. I mean, when you smoke, it ain't like getting drunk. It ain't like shooting heroin. It ain't anything like that. It's more of a meditation cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Have you heard the word anandamide? Anandamide, from the Sanskrit ananda, meaning bliss. And anandamide is the bliss stuff in cannabis. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen, in Wikipedia, or go, look up anandamide, and it helps to define scientifically what's in cannabis. It's the bliss stuff that we enjoy so much, and we're seeking our happiness here on planet Earth, and cannabis is a stepladder to that happiness. It's just a beautiful thing. It reduces stress. It can obviously prevent cancer and tumors.
It does. Phoenix Tears. You go to my website, check out Phoenix Tears, and understand. Go to the article that I've written here, and you'll see he cured cancer with it.
That is such a beautiful demonstration. That Phoenix Tears. It's one drop of that concentrated cannabis oil per day. I had some a month ago. It's put me in a very happy place. And I'm not a patient, so I put it in the hands of a patient after I experimented with it myself. But what a beautiful thing. And that's, boy, what do they say now? One out of two people develop cancer. It used to be one out of 20, 30 years ago. Now it's getting so common. We need a safe and natural, low-cost remedy. And we have one in cannabis. So it's going to be developing.
It's even more, not only does it cure cancer, but if your body and your immune system is up to par, if you haven't destroyed it with antibiotics and other pharmaceutical drugs, mm-hmm. we can fight off anything. You know, I've had every disease that you could think of and fought it off, and I don't ever get sick. But the hemp plant itself if you know, as Jack used to tell me, if you had one thing you could take with you to a deserted island, what would it be? He said it'd have to be a hipsy, because with it you could have your food, you could have your shelter, you could have your oil, your light, your power, everything else, everything we can make out of it. We're going to talk about that. We're talking with Roger Christie, the Cannabis Ministries, and I may be doing more talking than him, so I'll fix that on this next break. You got to take a break. Warm up that coffee. We'll be back, right back with Roger Christie. His website is linked on right below his name in the show. You can pass this show around and educate some people.
William Rodriguez, a maintenance employee at the World Trade Center and the last human being to exit the towers alive, describes a giant blast below his building.
And all of a sudden, we heard an explosion. It was a huge explosion that came from under my feet, meaning that it came from the sub-levels between B2 and B3. And then there was a huge explosion at the top of the building.
Hundreds of thousands of people have questions about the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. Those towers were not supported by balsa wood. We know that much. The very fact that the government will not somehow come up with answers to those questions, even if they said, well, Al-Qaeda placed bombs in the buildings, there would be some kind of answer, wouldn't they? But they won't answer the questions, which means what? There's another question for you.
For at least a couple of decades, Truth Radio listeners have known about the benefits of colloidal silver.
Now, that was a great product. But with this new patented technology, Silver Shield was created, and is 10 times better than colloidal silver.
Silver Shield. You can learn all about this new product using very high voltage to create colloidal silver by scrolling down the Truth Radio page till you see the sunflower. Click on the sunflower. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see the bottle of Silver Shield, and you can learn all about it. Learn how you can
benefit your life.
Learn how you can use it to benefit your life.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without love and kindness, our Lord, our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under its thumb.
All right, my guest is Roger Christie, THC Ministries out of Hawaii. Now, Roger, this is the question I'm asking here. What's your religious background? Is THC Ministries basically a Christianity with using the marijuana as a sacrament, as it should? I think it should.
That's an excellent question. We're a cannabis ministry for all walk people from all walks of life who are on the cannabis road. Of course, we live in a country that's got a Christian-dominated populace, and I'm happy to relate my cannabis spirituality to the principles of Christianity. As a matter of fact, I think that the second coming of Christ is the marijuana movement is like the second coming of the Christ spirit. You remember back in the 60s that peace and love feeling that was sweeping the nation and starting to go around the world?
I remember. Well, I wrote books about that and about the legalization of pot back in the 60s, so yes.
Well, what a good feeling that was. Well, the common denominator was the use of cannabis by all those hippies and protesters and students and baby boomers. That was what we had in common. And the desire to question authority, question the Vietnam War, and question the war on drugs, et cetera. What we had in common was what we lit up and passed around and freely shared, and that was that beautiful cannabis plant. I mean, back then it could be a joint of Mexican pot with stems and seeds in it, and we still had a ball. And it had, of course, led to homegrown and cultivated strains, and the prohibition has actually driven the production of cannabis to a higher level in more ways than one. But yes, I think the cannabis ministry, the Hawaii Cannabis THC Ministry, is pretty much non-denominational, but I do relate my particular philosophy with Christianity because I was brought up surrounded by a majority of Christians. And then it was such a pleasure.
I think you're listening to it. Kind of like Clinton said, what your definition of is. But Obama has proclaimed that this is no longer a Christian country.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point of view. Maybe he wants everybody to feel welcome in the USA, and I hope that's his intention. I want everybody to feel welcome in the THC ministry, whether they're Christian or not. It's a cannabis ministry. But, of course, it's easy to define now. It's easier for me to define my use of cannabis in some Christian terms, as using the word sacrament, for instance.
That's right. And we quote the Bible. The Bible said, I've got several of the quotes in there, that I will give you a plant of renown. And the explain anointing to me. Explain how that relates in the Bible.
Well, the anointing, what a beautiful component of the Bible, of the Old Testament and the New. Supposedly, the Lord gave Moses a recipe, and that recipe is included in every single Bible. It's in Exodus 30, 23. The Lord gave the recipe to Moses to make a holy anointing oil, which was to be an anointing oil throughout all the generations. That means then and now and forevermore. And that recipe includes what's called 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, which is approximately 25 pounds, and 250 shekels worth of flowing cinnamon or liquid cinnamon, about 12.5 pounds, and about 12.5 pounds of what's called fragrant cane in the English translations of the Bible. But all Hebrew dictionaries that I own three different versions of Hebrew dictionaries, and they all say that fragrant cane or canabosum is cannabis or hemp or marijuana. In the recipe, the original recipe for the authentic holy anointing oil of Moses and the christening oil of Jesus. And I started making that about 8 years ago. I thought, my God, there's a recipe in the Bible for cannabis? This is mind-blowing, because I've been a cannabis liberation activist for decades. And then to find out that cannabis, known as canabosum in Hebrew, was in this holy oil recipe, I just couldn't wait to make this stuff.
That might give you another interpretation of Moses and the burning bush, couldn't it?
Oh, certainly, certainly. And what Moses inhaled, Clay. Moses inhaled, and God said, I am that, comma, I am. I'm everything. I'm everything. And what a beautiful thing, and that certainly that was an important part of, he questioned authority, and he helped to liberate the Jews from the
Egyptians. Now, you're on my show, and I've written a book along with Eli James about Christian identity, and the difference between Christian identity is you just bought into a 100-year-old lie. Us white Caucasians, we were the Israelites. We crossed the Caucasus Mountains and went out and settled the world and populated the world. We were the 12 tribes. Judah was only one tribe, and the so-called Jews today, as a matter of fact, I'll be putting an article up about them today. They're not even from the Holy Land. They're from Khazaria, a Russian a province over in Russia, a country over in Russia, that converted to Judaism, that's all. And if you look at the Bible being written for us and understand that Moses was a Caucasian, just hadn't crossed the mountains yet, and he led us. We were in slavery, the Ashkenazi Jews brag about never having been in slavery. We were in slavery. We were let out, and we've followed the Bible, which is and Jesus' teachings actually was about freedom and freedom of authority. I mean, to me right now, cannabis, marijuana, and they did it to us almost 100 years ago, folks. They've taken our sacrament. They've taken the most the greatest plant on earth, and one that's talked about in the Bible, and they made it illegal. It would be the same thing as saying, okay, listen, we've decided that you Christians are you know, you've been causing trouble for 2,000 years. You were the cause of the Muslim invasion. You invaded the Holy Land. Da, 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 da. So we're making Christianity illegal, and that's what they've done with marijuana. That's what they've done with cannabis. They've made it illegal, and it's, as you just illustrated, it's part of our Bible. It's part of the anointing. It's part of what we're supposed to be using.
Well, yeah, the word Christ means anointed. And so I'm a curious guy. You're a curious guy. What do you mean by anointing? What's in that holy oil? I think it means literally anointed with a mixture of olive oil, with myrrh and cinnamon and cassia and fragrant cane or cannabis. To literally drench a person's head with that oil makes a person aware, more aware of who they are as a spiritual being here on planet Earth. It was about, I think, literally anointing people's heads with oil that woke up that crown chakra, that top part of our being that's closest to God in heaven, and that awakes up a person to the being the best they can be. And that was what I think Moses was doing with the holy anointing oil. And then Jesus came along and he believed that everybody was worthy of the good stuff, because before Jesus's time, the holy anointing oil was highly patriarchal. It was only for the high priest and the king of Israel. They wouldn't let anybody else have it. But the theory is that Jesus came along and he said God is in every single human being, and we are all children of the Most High. Everyone deserves the holy anointing oil. He anointed the masses, and they became known as the anointed ones, the Christians. It's a literal anointing. So
I'm not sure if you're aware. You just proved my point. I mean, this is—we're talking about Christianity. We're supporting Christianity, and we're using the hemp, the cannabis, as an anointing, as an awakening. It's almost like a baptismal. I mean, it's like, you know, once you've smoked, you can't talk to me about hemp if you haven't tried it. And over 100 million Americans have tried it.
Yeah, we think it's the baptism with fire. I mean, there was baptism with water, and that's a lovely thing. And then I believe John the Baptist said that somebody else is going to come, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we think that the cannabis, the holy anointing oil made with cannabosum and with cassia and cinnamon is the fire baptism. Because if you've ever had liquid cinnamon or liquid cassia in combination, that stuff is warm, and in a hot climate, boy, that's a very warm experience to drench someone's head with a hornful. They used their measuring cup in ancient days was a hornful of holy anointing oil, which we estimate 1 to 2 cups of this mixture would be poured and drenched on somebody's head and cling to their body for hours. And that would open up their pores. The cinnamon is and cassia are very hot. They open up the pores so the cannabis and the myrrh and the olive oil can penetrate. And that's what we do here at the THC Ministry. We, in addition to providing other services cannabis sacraments, we make the holy anointing oil and we anoint people with it every single day. And we're thrilled to do it. It's just an honor and a privilege to be associated with this beautiful ancient sacrament of the Hebrews and the holy anointing oil. We think the christening oil of Jesus. No wonder he had a healing ministry.
Now, the hemp itself, the hemp plant, the ingredients. I have banners on there for Hemp USA, and I've had Tom on my show a number of times. He's out of country right now. I'll have him on as soon as he comes back. You know, he doesn't even talk about smoking. He talks about the health benefits. It lowers your cholesterol. It's got all of the trace minerals in it. So, you know, if you plant a hemp plant in your backyard, a marijuana plant in your backyard, you can eat it, you can smoke it, you can burn it, for God's sake, if you need light.
Right. Well, that's Tom's work is beautifully done. That Hemp USA is just a beautiful website, and he sounds like he's got fantastic high-quality products. I haven't had the pleasure yet to try that particular brand, but I just heard his radio show with Kevin Trudeau, thanks to a link on your website there, and that really was awakened me to the quality of his beautiful hemp products. But what he doesn't touch upon is the spiritual blessing that human beings can get by smoking and otherwise ingesting the active, high-potency THC cannabis by smoking it or using it as holy oil or tea or tincture, in many different ways to enjoy it as vapor with a vaporizer now, so
people,
there's no smoke.
Back in 2,000 years, they probably did use the tea more than smoking it because, we didn't have matches.
Well,
Zippo hadn't come around yet.
Somebody threw a branch on a campfire one day, one evening, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, and they howled with laughter and joy, and they had a wonderful time singing and dancing around the campfire, and they thought, hey, that was such a good time. Let's do that again tonight. What the heck was that you threw on that campfire?
Put another log on the fire.
You got it.
And some beans.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think it's probably as simple as that. It was a very human experience, and it awakened people, and they were able to, you know, Jack used that story too, that people would weave a story and then spin a yarn. People would sit around the campfire and they'd work the cannabis. They would, you know, strip the bark and the strings off it and make some fabric, and they would eat the seeds and enjoy the oil and the medical qualities of it. But and every hippie knows how good it is to enjoy getting high with cannabis, and that it reduces stress, and stress being one of the biggest killers and progenitors of disease. Anything you can do to reduce stress is a helpful thing. That's one of the things that your beautiful son, Trevor Douglas, has mentioned in his court case in Colorado. He says, how about preventive health? He didn't like the fact that he's not satisfied that there's just medical marijuana for patients. He says, how about if I'm not a patient and I'm not sick? And he credits smoking cannabis with preventing disease. So once it's known commonly that cannabis smoking reduces stress and prevents disease, oh, my God, then everybody qualifies for medical marijuana.
Well, you know, I've been smoking for 50 years, and I told a psychiatrist once, I said, you know, you ever wonder why you never see a Harley outside of a psychiatrist's office unless it's his?
Hey, that's a really good question, because they're having fun getting their yah-yahs out, and they don't need a shrink.
When I got out of the hospital after being drugged on, pharmaceuticals for 3 months, and morphine, they asked me, they said, be sure you take this medicine. I said, no, the only medicine I need is a Harley and a joint. Thank you.
Wow. That's quite a prescription there, Mr. Douglas. I like the way you think, doctor.
Well, I went to a doctor. I went to a doctor after, you know, getting checked up after my motorcycle accident. And I asked the doctor, I said, well, what about medical marijuana? This is in Arizona. We don't have my, are you in favor of medical marijuana? And he said, no. He said, I think the pharmaceutical company should just synthesize it, and then we can prescribe it. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, you want me to pay you to write me a prescription so the pharmaceutical companies can make money for something I can plant and a seed and grow in my backyard? I don't think so. Hang on a minute. We'll be right back with Roger Christie, THC Ministries. And I promise I'll let him talk this time. Hang on. We'll be right back. Warm up that call. And Trevor, call in.
Wow. What could be more timely than this? Scott Runyon's new book, How to Become Rent and Mortgage Free. This is not another gimmick, but a real creative solution to financial freedom. As the American dream erodes with news of one foreclosure after another, Scott Runyon's book is the ideal answer to home ownership. It outlines a step-by-step plan to obtaining the American dream and to becoming truly debt-free. How to Become Rent and Mortgage Free reveals a new way of thinking, inspires you to improve your life right now. This book will inspire you and show you how to make your dreams become a reality. Scott's book is all meat and potatoes, not just theory. It covers many topics, including how your money is needlessly wasted on interest payments and depreciation. If you read this book, you'll never look at your life in quite the same way again. Buy Scott Runyon's How to Become Rent and Mortgage Free now. It'll change the way you look at home ownership. How do you buy it? Well, just scroll down the page and you'll see a copy of the cover. Click on it and go from there. Good radios normally come in large packages. I have a really good radio. This is a brand new digital radio that's tiny. So small, it'll fit in a man's shirt pocket. This radio, AM, FM, shortwave, with a RIP antenna, works well. It is really sensitive. I was so impressed that when I received the offer to buy a quantity of these at a very reasonable low price, I just knew that it would be a blessing to you if I went for it. And I did. And we have them. And they have arrived. Here they are. I'd be happy to send you one. The contribution you make doesn't have to be very large at all. Just remember the needs of Truth Radio when you ask for the little radio, and we'll be happy to send you one as a thanks for your support for Truth Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344, zip code 93444.
We're going to rise with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under its
thumb. All right. We're back. Roger Christie is my guest today. And, Roger, I've got on the phone somebody that we've been talking about and that you and I both know. Hello, Trevor. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Trevor, aloha to you.
Aloha, Roger. How's it going?
Great. It's going better now, man. I'm getting to know your pop, and what a character. And
yeah.
And it's a pleasure also to develop our friendship. What a treat here to have a family reunion with you guys.
Yeah. my two favorite people on the radio. How about that?
you know, Trevor Stand was... Absolutely. And just to make you folks aware, I've talked with Roger off of the air about representing his church here. I am working on my master's degree in divinity and political science because I think the two are absolutely intertwined. And but you're in Arizona, Clay. You're in Arizona. They don't have medical marijuana there. So. We're lawbreakers here. We can't. Well, you know what, folks? If the Christianity is illegal in China and Korea, and as far as I'm concerned, marijuana is a sacrament and has been for me and my family. Trevor, you know, What were my rules about smoking when you were growing up?
Well, I believe the initial rule was set down when you found out I was smoking with my brother and not with you. And you just wanted to make sure that I was smoking in the safety of our own home with you if I were to smoke it. So that was your first rule, I guess.
Yeah.
And only.
But Roger, if this is a sacrament and this is a religion and we're talking about, it really doesn't matter. It would be a sacrament if you were Muslim, if you were Buddhist, or if you were American Indian, wouldn't it?
That's right. One of the definitions of a sacrament is the visible form of an invisible grace. And cannabis fits that definition to a T. It's the visible form, that plant, that joint, that bud, that flower, gives us the invisible graces of laughter and kindness, and we get to question authority, and we get the bliss, the euphoria, all these great feelings that are kind of invisible, but have we get there by using that visible form. And what a beautiful thing it is, because it's so easy to access. It's such a human thing to access cannabis and to take it in tea or tincture or poultice or vapor or smoke. And every single person in the USA is entitled to a religious defense to prosecution. It's an inheritance from the Bill of Rights. It's an inheritance from the Creator. You don't have to wait for medical marijuana to come to your state to access it. Every single person in every state of the USA from one end to the other has the opportunity to have a religious defense to prosecution, the strongest there is, because it's based on the First Amendment, the very pinnacle of what the nation was founded for. So we have it built in.
Can people come in from any part of Hawaii over there? And do they make donations of hemp, of pot, of cannabis to you?
Yes, indeed. We have services and sacraments here every day at the THC Ministry. We're in Hilo, Hawaii, right on the ocean. And Clayton, we're in the Moses Building. We're in the historic Moses Building, making the holy oil of Moses. And my last name is Christie, which translates to anointed example. And we're having a very good time here, blessing people with holy anointing oil, receiving donations of sacrament, and giving donations of sacrament to people. People can actually get cannabis here and have a religious experience at the THC Ministry, or they can take it home with them and use it like you guys did in the privacy of their own home, the safest place in the world to where your home is your castle and you get to do what you darn well please and have a sanctuary. Everybody deserves a sanctuary at home for their private religious practice.
Now, Trevor, you violated one of my rules and you got a ticket. And when I made the same mistake or similar mistake, I did time in prison. You only got a fine, so it ain't so bad, but it ain't right either. And you fought it. You fought it in court, and the judge ruled it didn't qualify as a religion. I say 100 million Americans using it, it does qualify as a religion. But your story went viral. You got on AP. Der Spiegel's contacted you for an interview. What kind of effect has this had on you, and how do you feel about this? Tell us about it.
Well, I actually have been to the town that Roger's ministry is in, and I loved it. It was probably one of the most amazing experiences of my life in how accepting the Hawaiian culture is of marijuana, and how, beat down we are because we use marijuana or cannabis. It's really a big difference. I did only get a ticket, but whether they're ticketing or throwing in jail, there's really no difference. They're using the system against us, and they're violating our constitutional rights. So, yes, I did fight it in court, and the judge did rule against me and found me guilty, but at the same time, the judge did not accept Roger Christie's book that he so kindly gave to me to use in court, which is the THC Ministry defense kit. And that defense kit is the complete history of Roger Christie's trials and battles in courts and in life. And it was truly, I mean, to read about Roger's experience, it was truly an eye-opening experience. And right now we are trying to share that experience with the courts, and that's what we're doing in our appeal. We are actually trying to get the court to recognize this, because what they said was that I did not rise to, my beliefs were sincere. There were no doubts in that THC and cannabis is my sacrament and is my religion. And they had no doubts in that. What they said, the church that I belong to, or basically my beliefs, did not rise to that of a religion. And I believe that with the THC Ministry's help, it does rise to that of a religion. And so what we're trying to do is go back to trial on a retrial with this appeal and introduce this evidence, actually have them allow it in the court to be presented. And, you know, I personally believe that once the court allows this evidence in and we do go back to a retrial, we will have a completely different outcome in the hopes of getting a not guilty plea and the ultimate freedom of religion, which is the sacrament of, you know, the use of the sacrament cannabis.
Would it help your case if I became a minister in the THC Ministries and had and started a church here in Arizona where we don't have medical marijuana? And frankly, you know, you just got it perfect, man. I got your quote, my story there. I'm not sick.
I personally, I think it would, it may help my case, but if it does not help my case, it's going to help the world out, because the more people that join the THC Ministries and the more people that use cannabis as their sacrament and sincerely use it as their sacrament and understand its uses and its benefits, I believe that's better for the world and better for everybody that's in it.
You know, every sincere person is entitled to that religious defense, so they can sleep better at night. They have 24/7 protection every day and every night of their life for the rest of their life. It's a right for life. Medical marijuana is a beautiful thing, but it's a temporary legal privilege that lasts for 1 year while you're sick or in pain, and you have to pay a doctor for that privilege. And then at the end of the year, you have to renew it with a doctor visit, and you have to still be sick or in pain, and you have to pay again. And that's a fine. That's okay for the time being. But the religious use of cannabis, the spiritual use, is a right for life. And Clayton, what you can do, because we're making you, you've asked, and we're accepting you as a brand new THC Ministry minister. You're going to be receiving your package within the week, my friend, and you're going to be anointed with the holy anointing oil of Moses and the christening oil of Jesus. I can't wait for that to happen. And then I'm going to request that you marry one couple and then sign the marriage certificate, the marriage license, with your name and your title of Cannabis Sacrament Minister. And when the state of Arizona accepts that, they have accepted your cannabis ministry for the rest of your life. That's where church and state meet, is marrying people. That's where I got my license. I got the first license, I think, in U.S. history where a state licensed a minister for cannabis. And I'm happy to share that license with an infinite amount of people, including your beautiful son and yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Trevor. I just had to I had somebody in mind, a couple in mind, that might volunteer, Trevor.
Yeah. we'll see about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we just had a great victory this week where we got our second person in Ohio. He applied to this. He became a cannabis minister with the THC ministry, and he applied to the Secretary of State for a license to marry people as a cannabis minister, and he was turned down. And he called me and said, "Whoa, I'm disappointed. I'm turned down." And I said, "Let's use our ministry blessing on this. It's a perfect example. God, that's great. You were turned down. Please show us the blessings in this situation and hurry. We are safe, we are loved, and all is well." And sure enough, he attracted a lawyer who wrote a letter to the Secretary of State of Ohio just a week ago. And within 24 hours, that license was granted by the Secretary of State and confirmed by the Attorney General of the State of Ohio. And our Reverend Nathan Lester is now a state-licensed cannabis minister, second in the USA. So
Wow. You're
going to be next, Clayton.
Yeah, I'm going to be third, folks. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Because I believe my friend Jack Harrell was right when he said cannabis can save the world.
Yes, indeed. One person at a time, and I think, like you say, and we all know, it can save our nation, it can save our souls, it can save our ecology and our environment.
And our economy.
And,
if the American farmer was allowed to grow hemp again, and we competed with each other, and Trevor is doing Meat in Paradise, folks. It's linked on my site. You can go there, and you can get good range-fed beef. You know, come out of this beast. I mean, we're talking Monsanto. Grow your own food. Grow your own cannabis. We don't need to import it from Mexico and fund these violent drug cartels, do we? We can plant it in your backyard, make it a religion, step up on our First Amendment, and we got to save the First Amendment first, folks, and we may have to use the Second Amendment to do that. Come on.
Yeah, well, hopefully we don't have to go that way, that far. But anyway, the opportunity is right at hand. Here comes long season. Here comes the growing season for the Northern Hemisphere. Here comes the opportunity, one of the first human rights, to put a seed in the ground and tend it and harvest the fruit of it at the end of the growing cycle here at harvest time.
And
let's all get it together.
Put a big cross on the roof, folks. I mean, maybe that wouldn't hurt to ask for a blessing or two. Maybe planting a plant in your front yard instead of trying to hide it in the shed might be the way to do this. I mean, you know, Johnny Appleseed did a pretty good job.
He certainly did. Well, one of the ways to have religious use of cannabis is actually privacy. So there are a couple little rules of the road to make this formula work. I'm sitting here now the 10 years as a cannabis sacrament minister, licensed specifically by the state of Hawaii to marry people. And one of the rules of the road, the Vice Squad told me when they visited here a couple years ago, they said, "We know you're licensed and you can do whatever you want inside that Moses building inside your home. But please don't put those plants in the window box for everybody driving by to see. That would be violating the rights of privacy, and then we'd have to, you know, come and ask you to move those plants out of view."
Then just keep in mind, keep it in the backyard, you know.
But hey, you know, we have a trial by jury. You have to be convicted beyond a reasonable doubt, and the THC ministry can provide the certainty, can build our individual mana so that you have the certainty that you have that right from the Creator and from the Bill of Rights to enjoy cannabis, to get high with cannabis.
Trevor, a last word.
Amen. That's it. Everybody should exercise their right to freedom of religion. That's how I feel about it. Everybody should use this plant, should grow this plant if they're able to, and should eat the plant or ingest it if they're able to, because it will promote their health. So, actually prevents disease, and you can look up the patent that the government has on it. And,
yeah, according to the Bible, God cursed the Canaanites, the murderers out there. He cursed them, said they couldn't grow anything. So if you can grow pot, then you're probably not one of them, are you?
Yeah.
All right. God bless both of you. And, Roger, I'd like to have you back on again in a couple of weeks after I get my thing. Also, I'd like to have a critique on my story, because I want to add, now that I'm getting licensed here, I think we can trade on this publicly for publicity to promote my books, promote my this story, and I want to get this story into High Times. I want to get it into Playboy, Penthouse, and some of the major men's magazines. Or what?
Good for you, Clayton. I'm on. We're on the team, brother. This is a beautiful confluence of beautiful people here. So thank you so much with this, Clayton and Douglas. It's a pleasure to know you guys. Aloha to everybody in the audience.
All right. God bless you. And we'll be.
God bless you.
And we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure. Aloha.
Aloha.